Just move over a little bit to the left. A little bit more. A little bit more. That's it. That's it. Okay, let's start.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Now a little bit to the right. A little more.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
A little bit to the left. Your head is in the way.
Whatever.
That's better. Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am so mad at Facebook. You heard the news that it is alleged that the high-ranking Facebook executives knew about the 2016 Trump election interference by Russian bots and Russian people who were buying space and manipulating Facebook accordingly. The ads and the space was knowingly given to them. They knew about it, but they didn't tell the public and they didn't tell the law. Mark Gutenberg, Steve Gutenberg, whatever the hell his name is, he says that's a lie. Nothing like that ever happened. You, sir, are a liar. You are Facebook. Your job is not to connect people. Your job is to make money off of people. So let's not play games here, Mr. Gutenbergen. So in protest, every day, starting with the A's, I am going to unfriend everybody whose name begins with A. That means Alan, Aaron, Alice. You're all going to be unfriended. Tomorrow, I do the B's. Within 24 days, I will have no friends, which actually mirrors my real life. And I will be damn proud at that. I have not been on Facebook for 72 years now. Anyway, let's move on. I have great disdain toward Facebook. The stain is great. I also have great disdain against some guy named Donald Trump. He holds a position. I think he's a janitor somewhere. The man has become incredibly embarrassing to me. I have a friend who lives in a suburb of Paris. We had contact recently because it was my birthday, the day of doom. This friend wished me a happy birthday. We talked on the phone. We Skyped. He says to me, and I quote, "What the hell's going on in your country with that Trump dude?" I said, "Listen, this has nothing to do with me. He does not represent me. I don't agree with anything he does. He's a total moron. I'm so sorry I even said that. But he's a pitiful, pathetic piece of what I would consider to be inhuman feces." So I think my French friend got that concept that I was not exactly in Trump's camp. But it's true. The Trump guy goes to France, as other world leaders do, to acknowledge veterans and our alliance in World War I and World War II with France. Trump goes there, acts like a bitchy little schoolgirl who didn't get her way, wasn't accepted on the cheerleading squad this year. Trump just walks around insulting people, insulting the president of France, where at one time he actually picked dandruff off of the president of France's coat, which is a very nice manly thing to do. Macron is the French president. Anyway, Trump acted like a pouty little schoolgirl through the, and I'm not putting schoolgirls down. I shouldn't even use that term, pouty little school, like a pouty little schoolboy. Okay. The world leaders, most of them went to a site where the veterans were buried in France, and Trump decided not to go. The reason? Because it was raining outside. True story. Now, I don't know what Trump puts in his hair, but he's got a great fear of getting it wet, and also they make umbrellas, but apparently it was also windy. But Trump chose the discomfort of the rain over showing his support and acknowledgement of these veteran heroes in France and our alliance with them during two world wars. If you're a veteran, you've got to be muttering the word asshole at this point. As if that weren't enough, and it would have been, Trump goes back to the United States the day after Veterans Day. I'm sorry, it was on Veterans Day. And all presidents in the past, going back to Jesus, went to Arlington National Cemetery to place a wreath on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which honors all veterans who lost their lives. Trump didn't do it. He decided not to go. Reason? Not distinguished at this point. What a slap in the face to every veteran. This man is not representing this country. This man's only representing himself. And I'll say it again, if you're a Trump supporter, shame on you, man. You may support his policies as you would any Republican. Any Republican's policies. It doesn't have to be Trump. You don't have to support an asshole. And I'm sorry to call him an asshole, but I'm not. And now the fascinating part, which we're all going to watch, this like a reality show, is the unraveling of The Apprentice. We're going to watch a man who sought the presidential Oval Office in order to stroke the ego as much as the ego can be stroked, and will end up as the most hated, disingenuous, uncaring, sociologically ill person throughout the world. He will be known throughout the world as the man that unraveled and went nuts right in front of our eyes. His tweets are becoming so bizarre, I don't even think he's speaking English anymore. It's broken English, and it goes from subject to subject with hate and psychotic rumblings. You think I'm making this up? Follow the news. That's all you need to do. Anyway, let's get off of that subject. How are you? Good. I wanted to talk today about, oh man, I got to stretch. Hold on a second. Just wait. Just don't go anywhere. Hold on. I'm going to stretch. Oh, that felt good. I could use a massage right now. Or if I spell it wrong, I could use a message right now. Yeah, my shoulders are a little tight. That's what she said. Anyway, coming up pretty soon in the program, we're going to be speaking to the president and CEO of Direct Relief, and we'll explain what that is in just a second. I'm going to bond with you right now because I have a feeling you're going through what I'm going through. I am so sick of solicitation phone calls, either to lower my electric bill or to lower the interest rate on my credit cards, or my car is going out of warranty and I should buy their warranty on my car. Donate to this, donate to that, donate. Like I've got money left over after I pay my bills. No, I need that to live. Perhaps I want to save money. Sure, I'll donate, but don't be on my ass about it. When I get the mail from my mailbox, basically the mail doesn't fit in the mailbox, and it's a good-sized mailbox because I get 8 to 20 different envelopes and requests to donate to something. Whether on the envelope there's the face of a sick puppy dog or a child that hasn't eaten in 3 years, you're manipulating me to give you money. It's always been like that, but now it's ridiculous. And if one more guy from a foreign country calls me and tells me that there's something wrong with my computer, if I let them into my computer, they can fix it. I don't know what I'm going to get on a plane and go to wherever this guy is. First of all, teach him English if he's going to have a job like this. And secondly, beat the crap out of him. And I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for Trump, who teaches me to resolve all my problems in a physical violence manner. And he'll pay the attorney fees. Here's the bottom line. Whether you're a child who recently got a credit card, or you're a senior citizen who's starting to lose it, beware of everything. If you've been going to church for 50 years and you don't move out of that circle, you are going to be taken like a fly on a piece of flypaper. That was a stupid analogy. You'll be taken for every dollar you had. I know you were brought up that you must trust everybody. Everybody is good. You must trust everybody, forgive everybody. Inside every hard piece of candy, there's a soft, chewy center. No, not always. Some candy has been rotted away. In other words, don't trust anybody when it comes to giving up your money to something else. Double think it. I always take the position, you're trying to scam me, now prove that you're not. And with this extreme weather going on, all storms seem to be more intense, hitting every area of the country, whether it be tornadoes in the Midwest, fires in the West, floods around the Gulf, stupidity like in Florida, hurricanes, snowstorms like in the Northeast, floods, you name it, there's a lot of stuff going on. This Mother Nature person, and I never met her, but she's apparently a bitch, is really starting to dump on us. So we do want to help people, but to an extent. What's made me angrier than anything as far as being solicited for anything. And Facebook, you are so guilty of this because you are selling my information to people that I'm not even aware of. I know you are. Don't tell me you're not. Facebook is becoming the enemy of the people. What the hell? If the press is the enemy of the people, Facebook has got to be the depths of fire and brimstone. I actually got an envelope. I had donated $20 to an animal rescue league, the Humane Society. I did it, and I don't know why. I think I had just taken a shower, and I felt vulnerable. I sent him a check, so what the hell? Little tax deduction, whatever. And I never, by the way, never do it over the phone. Never, ever, 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 ever do it over the phone. Never give anybody your credit card number over the phone who you do not know. Anyway, donate $20. About a month later, I get thing in the mail. I think it was the Humane Society. I'm not sure. I'm not going to pin it on them, but I'm not sure. It was somebody that I had donated money to, and a month later, I get an envelope, and it's from this organization, and it says, we haven't received any donations in the past month. Your donation is past due. My donation is past due. No, I sent you $20. Now I'm having a legal battle with a place I donated to. First of all, don't send me dunning letters like I owe you money. You're a charity. I don't owe you money. You got to be kidding me. Are you going to start charging me interest on the donation that I didn't pay when I actually did? Now I have to prove to you that I already sent you a check? No. My time for that is nil. What kind of bastards are you? And I've talked about this before. The March of Dimes. A fine organization. Fine organization. But once every few months, in the mail, they send me an envelope with a dime inside. A real dime. The supposition is that I'm going to feel so guilty that they've sent me a dime and I'm going to keep it. No, I'll send them money back, more than a dime. But I don't. If the March of Dimes wants to send me dimes, keep it coming. I'll consider that part of my retirement fund. When I want to donate to you, I'll donate to you, not because you're sending me dimes in the mail. And by the way, March of Dimes, if you didn't send out dimes and you kept the dimes for yourself and invested it in something, you'd be able probably to cure all the diseases you want instead of giving dimes out. You're asking me for money while you're haphazardly sending dimes to everybody on the planet? No, it don't work that way with Ron. You need to make sense. And that makes no sense. Sorry. I know how to make choices.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Did they just not offer you a second choice? Or did you not have a lot of time to choose? Help me out here. I don't understand. What were you thinking?
All right, let's speak to our guest. I don't know when I donate, if I do donate, who I'm sending the money to. I don't know if it's getting to the right place. I don't know if they're using all the money for that or the expenses for them to even solicit me. I have no idea what's going on. I trust nobody. Well, there are a few people that I trust passively. I trust you until you break my trust, and then we're done. Ron, don't you forgive and forget? Well, I do forget, but that's not because I've forgiven. It's because I actually forgot. It's not like if I lose my car keys, I forgot what they were, but I don't forgive myself for losing them. Does that make any sense to you? It didn't make any sense to me. If that made sense to you and it made no sense to me, then something's really wrong. Something's wrong somewhere. I have lost my trust. And I was brought up to trust everybody and that everybody is good, but they are not. And maybe somewhere deep inside. See, here's the difference. Not everybody is like you are. And thank goodness, it would be very boring if everybody was just like you. Or very pleasant. I don't know which one. But all I ask, and I've said this before, all I ask from any human being is respect. Respect and courtesy. If you have those two innate abilities that you practice every single day in every single situation, respect and courtesy, I will get along with you until the day we die. It takes so little to have those two qualities. Oh, you can have other morals that are wonderful too. But you need to be a good person. I know we're all kind of tugged at because of the stress atmosphere and the political atmosphere and the difficulty of living in today's times and the social media bombardment. It's a very difficult thing if you don't have a grasp of it and you don't look over your shoulder constantly, which you must do. But if you're dealing with people who have respect and courtesy, you can sit back a little bit and go, phew, all right, I can deal with this. This I can deal with. I can deal with this. That's all I ask. Respect and courtesy. It should be on everybody's tombstone. Gravestone, whatever you call it thing. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. And who is the one person on the planet right now who doesn't have any respect or any kind of courtesy? Yeah, you know who it is. I'll give you a clue. He wears orange makeup. Why? I don't know. If you were wearing a foundation on your face because you wanted to cover up wrinkles and stuff, because you were egotistical, why would you choose orange foundation makeup? I didn't even know Clairol made that. It boggles the mind. Then you dye your hair blonde to match the orange complexion? What kind of... Are you colorblind? Are we dealing only in pastel colors? What's up with you? What's up with you? And what's up with you who accept this kind of crap? By now, everybody should have stood up, Republican and Democrat, and anything else there is. Everybody should have stood up and said, get out of here, Don. You're a mess. You're not what we thought you were. Get out of here. I don't understand. I watched The Apprentice now and then. I thought it was a very uppity, stupid, corporate kind of show to watch. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy him. I didn't enjoy anybody on the show. I thought the competition was absolutely stupid and sexist most of the time. And yet, on The Apprentice, the guy sitting behind the board table, Donald Trump, could fire anybody he wanted any time. He's the President of the United States. I hired him by vote. We can't stand up and say you're fired. Why not? What kind of reality show is this? Why can't I fire him? What's the problem? What are you talking about? I got to wait 4 years? That's a long time, man. I'll be 4 years older. That's ridiculous. That's too long. You got to make it 2 years. In his case, 2 weeks. Anyway, got off the track. We're talking about donating, which is a fine thing to do. But on the other hand, you don't want to make mistakes. You don't want to be hassled. You know, when you make a donation, you'll be hassled by that charity for the rest of your life every time you open up your mailbox or pick up your phone. Not all of them, but quite a few of them. Once they've found somebody who's willing to give up their money, they'll hone in on you like a hawk on a piece of meat. You know it's true. I'm not telling you something you don't know. We've had him on the show before, Thomas Teague.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Thomas, how are you?
Oh.
Good. Thomas Teague joins us. He's president and CEO of Direct Relief, which is a nonprofit organization. Are you in California?
Yes, I am. Ooh, Santa Barbara, California.
Wow. So. Well, first of all, thanks for being here so early. Yeah, it's early there. Also, seems to be a hotbed, literally, of some tragic situations with the forest fires. Are they under control?
Well, you know, it's still a pretty fluid situation, Ron. I think it depends on the day. They've got it under control. If the winds whip up and the heat comes up, I think they can spark up and spread. But yeah, the most recent news last night was the huge fire up in Northern California is getting under control. And the fires down here in Southern California, south of where Direct Relief is, are still present certain dangers, but 30 to 45% contained was our most recent report. But, you know, hundreds of thousands of people displaced. Incredible. And just waiting to get back and see if their home's still standing.
Yeah. It seems to be, and, you know, whether you believe in climate change or not, it seems to be that everything seems to be more intense than it used to be, whatever the situation is. We've always dealt with, quote-unquote, Mother Nature. I hate that term, but the intensity has definitely ramped up, but that's what the data shows. And we need more help from people in order to achieve this. The government isn't always, and has proven to be in the past, not the necessarily effective way to handle this. So the question arises, and I know this is what we're going to talk about today, is there are a lot of charities as a result of everything that's going on in all parts of the country, and it's difficult to know how to sort them out sometimes.
Right.
So
yeah, it's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a good question. I think we hear it all the time, and we often find ourselves almost serving as an advisor to people who clearly want to help and they find direct relief. But you know, we explain what we do, and you know, for example, direct relief focuses on support for healthcare institutions that serve the poor, basically. Mm-hmm. So we work with thousands of low-income nonprofit health centers and clinics all around the United States, and we provide free medications so their patients who don't have insurance or much money can come in and get the care they need when they get sick or hurt. We don't do animal support, and when emergencies arise, that is a huge thing that people generally are concerned about.
Certainly.
And so we often tell people, direct relief doesn't do that, but there are good groups who do that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't run shelters, or we don't do post-disaster job programs or housing programs. So it's really important for, I think, people to understand first what they care about, and then to kind of look for an organization that does well what they care about. And that's where the kind of the homework comes in. First of all, determining for yourself what speaks to you. Sometimes it's veterans, sometimes it's homelessness or after-school arts programs. There's such a wide array of nonprofit groups. And no one can decide for you what matters to you. So I think the first issue is on whatever any individual thinks is important to them and speaks to them, and before they give a gift. And then find a good one who does that. A group that on Charity Navigator or some of these sites, you can look up and see how they score or rate on things like the percentages of the funds they receive, how much are spent on things like fundraising or administration, and how much is spent on their program activity.
Yes.
And that's important to a lot of people as well.
It's confusing because I get the mail every day, as many people do. I get no less, and I'm not exaggerating, no less than 10 to 15 envelopes in my mail every day requesting me to help out with an organization or fund something. And it's overwhelming. I don't know how much of it is real. I assume it's somewhat real, but I don't know who's making, if there's a profit being made here. There are scams. The more tragedies occur, the more nasty people take advantage as well. So how do you sort out, even if you have an interest in a certain category, how do you sort out what is real and where your money is going to be most effective?
Yeah, I think it's an important point for just consumers generally. How do you protect yourself from being scammed? And I think what the IRS actually publishes the list of all of the registered charities that have certain obligations under U.S. law that they must fulfill. Charity Navigator, which is kind of a private group that does essentially a rating system, and they take the public information and they kind of simplify it. So consumers can see what the Charity Navigator score has been.
Good.
And they look at percentage of activity on percentage of money spent on things like executive salaries or fundraising activities or general management or programmatic activity. And those are kind of one-dimensional financial indicators, but they're important ones for a lot of people. I think, you know, I receive a lot of mail at my house too, and direct relief doesn't send out a lot of mail, and the reason we don't is because we found it does not work.
Mm-hmm.
It's very expensive, and people don't like it. So, but I think it's one of those traditions that, you know, playing the odds, if you do it enough, you'll get some return. Direct relief certainly has not seen that, but it's one of those traditional industries that probably is beyond its time, and I think there's so much information more readily available at lower costs online. That's why groups like Charity Navigator, or even the Better Business Bureau, actually does its own analysis, as does Forbes magazine. So I think if you just type in your search engine, you know, how to find a good charity, those are the first things that are going to come up, are the Charity Navigator, the independent rating organizations. And they're trying to provide consumer service and consumer protection and simplify the information that consumers have when making a decision.
It's so important, and not to scare people, but from personal experience, I had found out that I had gotten telephone calls are also very difficult. I had gotten a telephone call to help a local firefighters thing, Relief Association. Come to find out, the call was being made next door from a telemarketing firm. They get I think it was 60%, they explained to me. The charity gets 40%, and I went, oh, no, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, well, I mean, one good thing is you were able to find that out.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you pushed, but I think those are the kind of things where they're inconsistent with what the belief is. I think everyone wants to help firefighters, police officers, their fallen soldiers.
Sure.
And there are many groups who do it well, but I think the appeal is so strong at the emotional level, that's what makes it a potential to be abused and exploited. And it's awful. I mean, I think that's why it's just important to get the name. You know, we don't do direct marketing telephone calls either. Yeah. There's all sorts of ethical questions, including not bothering people at their home. So I think for sure the practices have been changing. They'll continue to change.
Good.
I think Direct Relief has certainly found
that
the more we just talk about our work and the more transparent we are about literally what we're doing with our money and asking less, actually ends up generating more support than if we were just asking all the time. And I think that's kind of the times we're in, where people like to make their own decisions. They don't like to be emotionally manipulated.
No.
And they're increasingly, you know, astute as consumers, and they see that stuff coming a mile away anyway. So
I don't mean to
project cynicism, but, you know, it's such a great quality of our country, this notion and tradition of charitable giving. You don't want to frustrate it. You just want to be done with eyes open and reasonably, not to get people so nervous that they think everything is a scam. It's not. And you can find out who's doing good work relatively easily online.
All right, so how do I get more information on this?
Well, I think just in general, I think the website's Charity Navigator, Charity Watch, or the Better Business Bureau, each has a site with a different way of rating and ranking charities.
Okay.
Direct Relief's website is directrelief.org if you're interested in what we do. But I think most organizations is a good place to start. Look at the financials, look at their history, look who they work with, look at their ratings. And if it's something you care about and you're in a position to help, it's a wonderful thing when people are able and take a step to do something for someone else.
Yes, and it's also great to have a institute like Direct Relief that is a clearinghouse for this, because that makes us feel safer. And by the way, if you want to help out with the California wildfires, you can also do that on the Direct Relief website, directrelief.org. Thank you so much for your time today, Thomas.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Nice man. He's a nice man. Respect? Courtesy? Yeah, I'm getting that from him. I get it. I can tell. I've been around long enough to be able to snuff this stuff out, and also long enough to know that there's a lot of it that's snuffable. Snuffable. Sounds like a character on Sesame Street. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. I'll be back with you again the next time a weekday rolls around. But until then, I wish you peace. Be careful now. Keep your eyes open. Keep those eyes in the back of your head. Observant and smart. You, my people.